Finance Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to the second hour of the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. Got a little bit of static in the background. It's got to be Doc messing around with something. He's the only non-professional guy on here. Richard, how you doing, bud?
Really good.
We are chatting right now with Jeff Deist, Doc, James Farley. Corey and I are going to want to take a couple of segments and chit-chat a little bit about the ACA, Affordable Care Act. Looks like it's not working out too well. I think the logical place to start this would be to say, on the one hand, you know, there's a lot of glitches right now, and I guess I would ask you, Jeff, in the sense that he's the political guy. I mean, were these terrible glitches that are coming up something that we should have expected?
Well, I think they were, given what we've asked the government to do here, which is in effect bring together a bunch of private or ostensibly private health care insurance companies and force them into exchanges at the state level, and not only force them into exchanges, but force them to cover certain things and to offer certain kinds of coverages in their policy, which is another way of saying to change their policies from how they currently exist under quasi-market conditions. But my question really for all of you is that, from my perspective, obviously health insurance and health care are two very different things. And for the most part, what I would consider good health insurance would be a high-deductible, catastrophic-only policy where the insured pays cash for basic services. Now, we've gotten far away from that in the past few decades for a variety of reasons, but to me, that's still what insurance should be. And my fear is that with some of the new mandates in terms of what's covered under the Obamacare bill, cheap, high-deductible policies are going to be harder and harder to obtain, especially, let's say, for younger, healthier people, because these insurance companies are going to be required to cover things like psychiatric care, prenatal care, etc. So I'm concerned that the kind of policy I had as a young person when I was in college, for instance, I think my dad paid for a while. It was literally about $50 or $100 a year. This is in the late 80s. I'm concerned, and if not convinced, that those kinds of policies are going to go the way of the dodo bird. And in fact, a lot of healthy younger Americans are going to end up underserved as a result of this bill, not overserved.
I agree with that. I think it's not only the young and healthy that won't be able to obtain these high deductible plans, but much of rural America will not be able to access care for the exact same reason, because of limitation of offerings. You know, there are counties, there's 2,500 counties, and over about 60% of them are rural and offering either one or two health plan choices, most of which do not offer high-deductible plans.
You know, guys, looking at it from a Canadian perspective, it's really mind-boggling to me to see how this so-called healthcare is being set up, just because there have been so many glitches, and there continue to be. And just as James pointed out, different people are offered different plans. To me, it doesn't seem fair. Doc, what are some of your opinions on this?
Well, certainly with the exchanges, and then eventually you're going to get exchanges that are pooled exchanges. And as we move into the mandates and the companies start to take people off their plans, the exchanges are going to be inundated with more people, plus these people that are currently being kicked off of their personal plans that they have. And when I look at this whole thing, I start to wonder, when they put it together, were they thinking in the back of their minds to move this country to a single-payer system? Because this thing was doomed from the beginning. Was it a conscious decision, or was it an unconscious thing that will ultimately happen?
Well, Big Al, I got to tell you, there's no question that we are heading toward a single-payer system in this country. It's as inexorable as a huge wave coming in from the sea, and it's just the long march of history, and I'm convinced it is, of course, hugely tied up with America's slide into more and more statism. But I'd like to throw this out. I know Corey has some experience with this. There's sort of two different models for the single-payer system. There's the model that I'm going to say is roughly used in UK and Canada, which is where you actually have government doctors and government clinics, and you go to the doctor, and maybe it's kind of crappy. It's kind of like the DMV here in the U.S. or the VA here in the U.S., but it's a pure sort of government-run doctor and government-run healthcare system. Whereas in France, where my older brother and his wife lived for a couple of decades, you have ostensibly private doctors, but they're paid. But when the patient goes to see the doctor, he or she doesn't get a bill. The government pays it, and as a result, the government sort of sets all the prices for what doctors can charge. And doctors in France, from what I'm told anyway, are not particularly highly paid people. That's sort of more of a middle class occupation. This Obamacare thing is sort of a third way. That's a very unholy alliance between government and the private sector. But I agree. I think it was almost maybe not designed to collapse, but certainly. Almost certain to collapse given the complexity of this thing. So the question becomes, are we going to go to the UK model, or are we going to go to the Canadian model? And you know, with both those models, it leaves the rich on a different plane, because they are going to purchase concierge care using cash, and they're going to be above the fray, so to speak.
Jeff, you know, you are correct in the sense that here in Canada, we do have the single-payer system, and if you are wealthier and have money and you want to skip the line, you can definitely do that. You can go to private clinics and get what some people consider better care. But the fact of the matter is, if you don't have any money or you are very poor, you can still go out there and get very good care at our hospitals, even at our clinics. And they aren't in bad condition. We keep them up very well. We pay our doctors very well. It is something that is definitely costing us money. But, you know, we have less people, so I think we can maybe get away with it a little bit better than the U.S. can right now, just because, well, we know that it's an entitlement society, and right now you give them the ability to abuse the system. I see a bad, bad sign or a bad turn of events here down the line.
You know, go ahead, you guys.
Yeah, you know, Corey, there's a big difference, though, between us in Canada also, and France and the UK, in that we're the world's policeman. And that takes up a lot of our dollars. So if we continue to move in this direction, what happens with that whole concept? And one of my questions that I keep thinking about is, as we move down this path, deficits and debt are going to clash with this program and so many other of the programs in the federal government. And what ultimately does that ultimately determine what we are as a nation? Because we're going to have to make choices.
You guys have got about a minute left here in this particular segment, and I think that that's a very interesting question. You know, it's some of the things that are coming out over the wire services, though, I think are really worth mentioning. As an example, James, I'm sure you're aware of this, but in New York, because of the glitches in the software or whatever, absolutely no one has signed up for the ACA. What I find even more interesting than that is some of the fears that were bantied about prior to this particular thing becoming law have really turned into reality. For example, in New York right now, a significant amount of elderly New Yorkers are scared to death right now because they have received notices that their insurance companies aren't covering their particular doctors anymore. So what does that leave them in terms of a choice? Well, they can keep the same insurance plan, I guess I should say, and find another doctor. They can pay out of pocket, or they can look for another plan where their physician is a member. Now, what's interesting about this is that not only are the elderly people who are faced with this situation in a real panic right now, but there are many doctors in New York who are on record as stating, I mean, what's this all about? For no apparent reason, we can't see our patients anymore from a practical standpoint because they're not going to get insured. I'm going to talk about that and some other issues when we come back.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Hello, I'm Steve Shank. Everybody's heard the statement that what you don't know can't hurt you. But truth is, what you don't know is the only thing that can hurt you. For example, you might not know how our country's wars can hurt you. Japanese radiation and the Gulf oil spill are destroying your seafood. People don't understand how America's 50-year worst drought is hurting them. Our natural disaster experience has proven relief organizations can't take care of the victims. And there's the huge question of how the government will feed all the people that it's promised to feed with no food. What if we made the whole country into one big neighborhood where we take care of each other by taking care of ourselves? Here's the plan. For every new EPAC 60-day food supply that you order, eFoods Direct will send a 7-day food supply to each of two families in your name, free of charge. Go to eFoodsDirect.com or call 800-876-0871. 800-876-0871. eFoodsDirect.com.
Are you prepared for disasters, job loss, and uncertain times? Make Emergency Essentials your first stop for premier food storage and emergency preparedness supplies. Compare our food storage ounce to ounce, and it's easy to see. Emergency Essentials has the best quality and lowest priced emergency food storage guaranteed. Call Emergency Essentials at 800-999-1863 today or visit BePrepared.com. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
Hi, I'm Ed Krell, CEO of Destination Maternity. We proudly support the March of Dimes work to reduce the rate of premature birth. The numbers have gone down in the past 5 years, but still, nearly 500,000 babies are born too soon in the United States each year. We're helping the March of Dimes fund cutting-edge research and community programs to help more moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Join us in working together for stronger, healthier babies. Visit marchofdimes.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the second hour of the Corlin Economics Report. We are again talking Obamacare. And as always, I'm joined by Big Al and Corey. We also have with us today James Farley and Doc. And we're getting their perspectives on the Obamacare mess. You know, I'm going to throw this out there, Al. I read something the other day that I thought was pretty brilliant. And it was something to the effect that as medicine becomes bureaucratized, only bureaucrats will become doctors. And my concern is that all the mandates in Obamacare, all the uncertainty it engenders, is not just causing heartburn for patients and would be insured, but it's causing a lot of heartburn for doctors. And I know that doctors who are in sort of that sweet spot, let's say they're in their 50s and they're contemplating their next move in life, they hadn't intended to retire yet, but they might have just about enough money to retire, not comfortably, but retire. I just wonder if we are going to lose an older generation of doctors because of this. And I also wonder how long it's going to take. We already have anecdotal evidence, but how long it's going to take to trickle down to the younger folks who already, I think, the best and brightest have an incentive to go to, let's say, Wall Street or Silicon Valley rather than into the trenches of day-to-day medicine. So I would really like to get James' opinion, for one, on where all this bureaucratization is leading us in terms of the miserable lifestyle that doctors find themselves wrapped up in.
You know, my perspective is the Accountable Care Act is not healthcare reform. It's insurance reform. And it is as confusing for the physicians and other caregivers about what this means for them as this plays out, because there's so much uncertainty. The people that I work with, they say, we're going to sit back and see what happens in the first year because there's so many variables. We can't tell what the impact is going to be on us. Other than that, the end game is a target of reimbursements that are at the Medicare level and stripping out the commercial side. So I think you're right. Physicians who, you know, have been making a decent living are now looking at a potential future where it's going to be certainly less so, and if they have an option of retiring, they may head in that direction.
You know, a couple of comments on that, then I guess I would direct these. We want a response, Doc, from you on this particular case. But two points that I think are really interesting. I was chatting with a woman who is a physician, lives in Vancouver, B.C. She was getting out of the industry. The woman was making something like $150,000 a year, somewhere between 100 and a quarter and 100 and a half. And she said, you know, for the amount of effort, for the amount of schooling, et cetera, it's not that I don't want to help people, but she said, you know, in Canada, you can't live on that kind of money. Point number one. Point number two, I was chatting with my personal physician, and I guess this would be a question directly for you, Doc, and I said, you know, what do you think about the government intervention in terms of your business? And he said, well, the only comment that I can make is, he said, I will tell you categorically that your medical bill, if the government wasn't involved, would go down by 26%. Any comments on that, Richard?
Yeah, and of course, being a physician, I look at this, and fortunately, I've been in the area of workers' comp for years, so I haven't had to deal with a lot of what my compatriots have had to deal with, and that's ever-increasing paperwork, computerization, and they hardly have a chance, a lot of them, to even know their patients anymore. And a lot of patients will tell you that when they go in, they feel like they're pushed in and they're right away out again, because the name of the game is to move people. And one part of the Affordable Care Act that doesn't deal with the insurance in, which most of it is an insurance program, is accountable care organizations and what they call ACOs, and that's coming. And ACOs deal mainly with Medicare. And I think what you're going to see in that whole area is more and more doctors being bought out their practices. And you're going to get these huge health organizations comprised of different physician specialties and primary care and hospital systems, because they'll still be paid fee-for-service as far as Medicare, but they're going to be rewarded for cost-cutting. And so that whole thing is going to play a factor in the delivery of health care as well.
Doc, I have a quick question about you. Listening to the first part of this segment, I'm getting the feeling that what I'm hearing is the actual care, the service of care, the quality of care is going to decrease when this is fully put into place. Am I wrong, or is this a reasonable assumption?
Well, when you go to accountable care organizations that they're pushing, what they are, just they're going to be like huge HMOs. And the old system used to be basically fee-for-service. And now you're going to get to the point where it's kind of like the old savings that when the fee-for-service doc came to the office and there were a lot of cars in the parking lot, he knew he was going to make a lot of money. When the HMO physician came into the parking lot and there were no cars, He knew he was going to make a lot of money. So the point is, you're going to move from a system that rewards fee for service or doing things to a system to do as little as possible.
James, I'm curious what your view is on that. You know, you were involved with an HMO in the Portland area when we were neighbors of you guys. And I have to say that the care that we got from that particular HMO was exemplary. Now, we moved up to the northern part of the state. We're kind of out in the sticks, as you guys know, and we're now under the, our coverage is through an HMO, but we do have a private physician who just happens to take their particular coverage. What do you think about what Doc just said?
You know, I think the way that this conversation is framed, again, illustrates the vagary, at least for the your common listener, between insurance and delivery system. So HMO generally connotates the insurer, the health plan that is using a set of benefits and management perspectives of those benefits to define what's called a health maintenance organization. Now, similarly, the organization that you were referencing earlier, Al, is also a delivery system. And that particular delivery system is focused around providing comprehensive managed care and helping you manage your clinical care for the best clinical outcome. And that may mean, you know, getting you to the right place at the right time at the right cost. And there are two very different things. The average person, I think, if they're not in this business, they oftentimes confuse the two and lump them together. And I think to Doc's point a minute ago, the insurance part will definitely start to roll out over the next few years and start to compress away from the former kinds of high deductible plans to more managed care insurance plans. But it will also push, to also his point, the accountable care organizations to begin to manage patients by as populations and to manage chronic diseases in different ways, not in the each incidence of care, but in as a population of care.
Got to take a real quick break here, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be back with you to continue and hopefully wrap up.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here. It's that time of year again, and you know what that means. Cold and flu season. But don't worry. HerbalHealer.com has you and your loved ones covered with our safe and natural products. Cold and flu fighters like beta-glucans, olive leaf antiviral capsules, grapefruit seed extract, HHA 4-herb capsules, elderberry power, and respirate. And don't forget about oregacillin for the lungs, normally $34.95. On sale now for only $25. Vitamin D3, 120-count soft gels, only $9. Whole body and homeopathic detoxes for the lungs, kidneys, liver, lymph, and brain. Normally $26.95, now just $20. HerbalHealer.com also offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click the Winter Specials button to save on our natural cold and flu-fighting products. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule I drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. Hemp USA
USA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at hempusa.org.
Is there such a thing as gluten-free emergency kits?
Yes. And for celiacs, there is no other than glutenfreeemergencykits.com. If you or a loved one has celiac disease, you need a gluten-free emergency kit to survive. Our kits are natural, non-GMO, low sodium, low cholesterol, soy-free, contain no artificial colors or MSG, and carry the celiac Spruce seal of approval. Now get our March Grab and Go Bucket Special for only $29.99 at glutenfreeemergencykits.com. Glutenfreeemergencykits.com. Better foods, better living.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
My name's Bruno. I'm 52 years old. I've tried different protein powders over the years, and they've all tasted pretty bad. I tried One World Whey and found it to be delicious. After 10 weeks on One World Whey, my wife commented, "You have more muscles and you're leaner than when you were 20 years old. My body has changed dramatically." I'm a cyclist. Normally I'll ride 2 days on and take 2 days off. After being on One World Whey, I rode 10 days in a row in over 100 degree heat, and then I'd take another 2 servings of One World Whey, and then work out at the gym for another hour and a half. I just couldn't believe these results. My normal muscle tightness and soreness after working out are virtually gone. Don't take my word for it. One World Whey comes in single servings. Just give it a try.
For a health and taste sensation you'll love, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
You know, James, you made a really interesting point towards at the end of the last segment, I guess I would have to say. And the main question that I have here is kind of a little bit more of an all-encompassing question. And that is, we had, according to all the polls that I saw before this thing was signed into law, roughly 70% of the population of the United States didn't want any part of this. And yet the administration, the president specifically, wanted something that he would be able to hang his hat on, really hang his hat on, and really go down in history as doing something important, and he somehow pushed this thing through. I guess my comment is, are people just angry right now that in fact President Obama pushed this through, or are there legitimate concerns that this thing is wrong? Now, I have to go on record as saying I personally believe that this thing is wrong. Doc, let's start out with you. What do you think, bud?
Well, I think the only heavy lifting the president did was his pen. I think it was the House and Senate that, you know, there was such a Democratic majority that they were able to push this thing through. And, of course, he was the one out front on the teleprompters talking about it. But I think this thing was in place. They've been working on this before he ever became president. It's not something they just threw together. And the bureaucrats, I'm sure, have been working on this, and when he came into office, you know, it was ready to go. And all he had to do was go to the American people and tell them all the benefits of it. And then they pushed it through. And so, and now, of course, the American people are seeing a lot of what he said it would do or wouldn't do aren't coming to fruition. It's just the opposite. But it's law now, and they're stuck with it. So it's going to be a matter of time before we see how this whole thing falls out and where it's going to fall out. And I'll tell you, it's going to take time because of the debt and deficit situation we're in. And if this economy starts to go south again and we're long in this so-called recovery, then all bets are off again. You know, are the mandates delayed again? Who knows? Because it's going to depend on our economic situation in the next few months.
Doc, you brought up a good point there that this whole Obamacare got pushed through by the Democratic majority. But now I'm reading different articles that are saying that they're starting to go against it and they're not liking or they want to delay the rollout. I don't know if these are backed up by anything, but I have read a few of them. So, Jeff, I wanted to get your opinion on if we might see more Democrats kind of moving across the line and saying, yeah, maybe this isn't the best idea right now.
Corey, it really depends on those particular Democrats and their situation in their home districts. So we do have about 5 or 10 Democratic senators in the U.S. Senate who are up for re-election in 2014 who have now joined together and said, hey, we want the administration to delay the actual fine, the actual mandate another year until January of 2014. And this is, you know, just pure politics is local. And I think especially members of Congress and senators who have districts full of older folks in retirement havens like Florida, Arizona, et cetera, are going to be getting an earful. And so, you know, whatever loyalty they have to Obama or Pelosi or to Harry Reid is going to be put on the back burner so that they can continue to be a senator or a member of Congress for a very long time, which is, of course, what they all want. But look, whatever the political fallout is of this mess and the mechanical problems that it's having at the get-go, I don't think there's going to be any philosophical fallout. In other words, no matter what happens, millions and millions of Americans will absolutely believe that this is all the fault of, you know, greedy rich people, of big profit-seeking corporations, and of rich taxpayers who just won't tax enough, and the federal government that just won't spend enough because of this terrible Republicans. In other words, there's nothing in this that'll make people who are already inclined to believe in government, you know, sort of change their minds and say, gee whiz, maybe healthcare really is too complex and we shouldn't have it, you know, something like that that's so personalized and individualized run in a top-down way by Washington, D.C. I just think that philosophically we're too far gone in this country for people to draw what is, you know, clear to all of us who are libertarian, clearly the correct conclusion, which is that government and healthcare don't mix, and that healthcare services, like all other goods and services, are finite, and that, you know, the resources are, whether that's doctors or nurses or hospitals or medical devices, you know, resources are best allocated by supply and demand in the market. And that would require some kind of system where we have cash for basic services and high deductible catastrophic policies, and we're moving in the opposite direction. So, you know, there's going to be some short-term political fallout, but I'm convinced that our media and our academia is so far in the tank for Obama that they will not let this, just like they wouldn't let Benghazi do it, they will not let this tar his second term or his legacy. They will find a way to put lipstick on the pig.
What do you think, James?
Well, I think he's right, but I also think at the same time, small business 2 years ago, and they were looking at, were they going to have a profit, or were they going to be able to pay their employees health care benefits? And health care spending has reached such a crescendo and in terms of the cost for the average small business that something, we have to do something. Is this the right thing? I don't know if it's the right thing, but I do think we have to do something to manage the cost. And I think that's the combination of managing the cost of the insurance in a new way, as well as managing the cost of the care and the care delivery in a new way. We have to do both.
Well, Jane, I guess I have to ask you, Corey, you know, being a Canadian, are you happy with your system up there?
Right now, yes, I am. And the only other system that I have to compare it to was when I went to school down in the U.S. And as I've mentioned before, I was scared to go to the doctor just because I did have health care for most of it. Not all of it, unfortunately. But I just heard the horror stories of going to the hospital and getting dinged with a huge bill. And I was lucky that I didn't really get sick down there. But it's just one thing that in Canada here, anybody can go into the hospital, and if you're Canadian, then you know what? It'll be covered, and you don't really need to worry about it. Some services, yeah, you need to pay a little bit of a fee, which I also think is good and something that I believe Jeff touched on, that, you know what, maybe if you need to pay a little deductible to get certain things done, you won't have people abusing the system. But the fact of the matter is it's health care, and people need it, and not everyone can afford it.
I don't think there's any question about that, about the validity of that statement. You know, and James, you and I chatted about this ad nauseum, you know, on some of our runs together and other times when we had, you know, more time than we knew what to do with, and we talk about this thing, you know. But the thing that you brought out that I think is really, really interesting, and I kind of like to wrap up this segment with that, and that is purely and simply, nobody is saying that everybody shouldn't be allowed health care. Nobody is saying people should be dying in the streets or what have you. That's not the point. The point is the way this thing is structured, I'm firmly convinced, is wrong for two reasons. And the main reason is we got a company that has a balance sheet that's upside down right now. We have a country that has an income statement that makes absolutely zero sense because the expense side far outweighs the revenue side. I don't believe that this is the answer. And I think, you know what, you guys? I think a lot of Americans would agree with me. Jeff, you got the final word, and you got 30 seconds.
Well, it's not the answer. And frankly, I would have been happier, even as a libertarian, with them just extending Medicare and Medicaid to everyone who is, let's say, below a certain poverty level, and then figure out a way to, quote-unquote, pay for it. It would have been simpler and less bureaucratic, and it wouldn't have gotten us into a very strange situation of crony capitalism where we have private companies involved in a government-mandated healthcare exchange.
Ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. I don't think there's really anything more we can say on this issue. We've talked about it last week. We spent almost half an hour talking about it this week. Stay informed. Make up your own minds. Do what you think is right.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Can Heart and Body Extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using Heart and Body Extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I have very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking Heart and Body Extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for long and healthy life.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these specials. A 14 by 21 foot shop for under $6,000 or a 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's $5,000. Square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
An e-cig revolution is sweeping across the country. But is yours American-made? Vapriate e-liquid by LeSig is. manufactured in Arkansas with 100% USA sourced ingredients. And when you buy American, you support local jobs. Vapriate e-liquid by LaSig is top quality at an affordable price. The very principle that once drove the American economy. Get great taste with no ash, tar, or smoke. You'll be wondering why you didn't make the change to Vapriate e-liquid by LaSig a long time ago. LaSig.com has everything you need for beginners to the advanced vaping enthusiast with a wide variety of hardware and also imported e-liquid flavors as well. Plus, LaSig smokes the competition with fast, free, same-day shipping, real people customer service, and a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Support our country and become a Vapriate at LaSig.com or call 870-525-1440, 870-525-1440. LaSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months, simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Okay, here to wrap up the weekend edition of the Cornell Economics Report. I mean, how could I have Jeff Deist, Corey Fleck, and Doc on the line with us without talking about what's going on regarding the perception of the world, of the United States? You know, it looks like the U.S. government was caught with its pants down again regarding the situation with the National Security Agency bugging Angela Merkel's cell phone. I knew we were going to be talking about this on the air, and I wanted to get some opinions from a couple of liberal friends of mine on this particular issue. Let me tell you, one of them said that is absolutely wrong, and I fault the government for doing that. The other one said, "Hey, no big deal. Everybody does it." Jeff, everybody does it?
Yes, everybody does it. And some of these statements of feigned outrage from various world leaders that, you know, friendly countries don't spy on each other. That's absolutely not true. They all know that they spy on each other, especially during the Cold War, when the Soviet Union was at the height of its power. I mean, this was absolutely well known. And I would think anybody who, given the revelations we've had about the NSA in the past 12 or 18 months, any foreign leader who thinks that that's not happening, I'm sure, is naive. That being said, when you get really granular, I doubt that Angela Merkel really thought that her individual cell phone calls were necessarily being listened to, and I would suspect that they were quite boring. She seems like about the last person on Earth I'd like to, listen to her cell phone calls. But, this is nothing new, Al. What's changed radically is the technological capability. You've got drones, you've got satellites, you've got servers, you've got email, you've got all these things that, you know, the Cold War CIA didn't have 50 years ago, that J. Edgar Hoover never had. So this is just, it's just a different era, and the technology is closing in on us, and it's tightening like a noose, and it scares the hell out of me, I'll tell you that much.
Jeff, I couldn't agree with you more in the fact that this spying has been happening and is happening all over the place. And if countries deny that they're doing it, well, they're flat out lying. However, the fact that really gets me is that all these countries know that, but countries seem to be standing up against the U.S., which to me shows that they're not afraid of the U.S. anymore. And that, yes, the U.S. is doing this, and yes, they're doing this, but you know what? We're not going to take it from the U.S., and if we can fight on these topics that we know are out there, then you know what? It's just another chink in the armor of what is or is used to be you have to say about this.
I couldn't agree more with that, Corey. And the thing I think about is the fact that these countries now, and what you said, no longer seem afraid of us. Well, I agree, because if you just look at some of the things that have been verbalized recently, and the reason they're not afraid of us any longer is they know we're in a debt problem. And they know that our options are now limited, especially, I think, militarily. And so you have China lecturing us and downgrading us, lecturing us about our debt and about our process in Washington. And you have even our allies now getting after us with what we're doing with the NSA and other things. So there is a lack of fear. And I think they know that as our percentage of global GDP continues to decrease and a lot of these developing nations continue to increase, that our dollar is at risk and our whole reserve currency over time is at risk. So they no longer have a problem with just taking our lectures. They're turning around and starting to lecture us now.
I think that's really interesting, and I think that's very, very true. I think the economic implications coming out of the United States right now are truly leading people to realize that we're not the prettiest baby in the nursery, certainly at this moment in time. You know, as Will McElvoy said on the first segment of what I think is one of the greatest TV shows out there, Newsroom, somebody asked him, was the United States of America the greatest country in the world? And he said, absolutely not. But we could be again. You know, I think that's true, very true. I don't think we're at the top of the heap anymore. Jeff, I mean, you think I'm nuts?
No, we're not. And I think there's two things that keep us, you know, at least in our own minds, at the top of the heap as a superpower. One is our military force, our military might. But the Soviet Union had that too. And as we saw, that despite all that military might, they were rotting inside. They couldn't feed their people. They had huge domestic problems. And so it turns out, in hindsight, in retrospect, that a lot of those nuclear weapons they had weren't even charged. They were the nuclear warheads weren't even active, and they were rusting away in their silos. I think our military superiority, whilst, you know, we're not like the Soviets yet, our military is not rusting. But nonetheless, you know, it's becoming more and more of a paper tiger, because we're stretched so thin, and we've seen what can happen to, you know, empires when they get embroiled in places like Afghanistan. So I think our military strength is now being questioned around the world as a practical matter. In other words, what would we do to block China? What would we do against Iran? What would we do against Korea? 25 years ago, no one would have questioned what we would or could do, whereas now I think there's some real question marks out there. The second thing, of course, that keeps us as a superpower is our dollar. And that's a very complex subject, and it's of course tied up with the fact that OPEC, accepts dollars, for all oil sales, and that creates an artificial need for most countries to have dollars. But again, that's complex, but it's also changing. And when Doc talks about the Chinese lecturing us, I think part of that is because they hold a lot of dollars and they're not very happy about the fact that we're doing all kinds of things to devalue it. So, you know, there's nothing magic in the water in America. There's nothing about our education system, about our government policies, fiscal policy, monetary policy. There's nothing particular. I mean, we're blessed with resources and timber and arable land, but there's some other countries that can boast the same thing. So, once the dollar really starts to unravel, I think that's going to be the end now. And I think, there's no reason per se why the average American, you know, who's not that sharp or bright or productive should have an annual income, let's say 10 or 20 times the average Indian or Chinese citizen. And, that's something that is very sobering to me.
Jeff, I'm glad you brought up the whole currency aspect. And, Doc, we're running out of time. I wish we had more time to get into this, but we have about just over a minute left. Yes, the U.S. military is still strong. However, there's a different type of war that can be fought out there right now, and that is through currency. It's scary, but it's true, and you don't necessarily need to send bombs into a country to really handcuff them. What do you think about all this?
Yeah, I agree with that. In fact, when you look back at the Great Depression with Beggar Thy Neighbor, they accomplished it through tariff. What you're seeing today is you're going to see it accomplished through currency wars. And look at Japan. Based on their GDP and ours, they're actually printing money at three times our rate. If they had the same GDP as we did, they would right now be printing about $210 billion a month. And so it's going to be currency wars. That's going to be the new Bigger Thy Neighbor. And I think it's going to continue for a while, and we're going to be affected by it.
You know, the thing that bothers me, we actually have about a minute left here now, the thing that bothers me a lot right now is, yeah, the economic issues are truly terrifying. And they're truly terrifying to me because I don't believe that we can sustain our country economically. I really don't. I think eventually, you know, you're going to have a, for lack of better terms, a jubilee type thing or something, because there's just absolutely no way that can continue. But, Jeff, I want to get the final comment with you. We got about 40 seconds right now. And the thing that bothers me is the fact that we are doing things that I believe are immoral, and people are realizing it. You got the final word. You got 40 seconds.
Well, certainly we are, and I view the state, i.e. the American government, as deeply immoral and based on force. Force doesn't work. Markets work. Civil society works. Free commodity money works. Diplomacy works. Trade works. None of these options are being applied to our current foreign policy or to our spying on our neighbors. But sooner or later, I think things are going to turn around because they must. In other words, what we're doing is unsustainable. And whether we figure it out or whether something very nasty happens to us, we're going to have a change.
As Will McAvoy says, we can be again. You guys have a great weekend.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guest by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
We travel so much, and having a fake TV, well, it gives added peace of mind.
Burglars look for houses that appear to be easy targets. But fake TV can fool even professional burglars into thinking someone is home watching television.
As a recent widow living alone, it gives me great peace of mind to set my fake TV near a window and know that passing motorists and pedestrians will think someone is home watching TV when I'm actually away from home.
Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet, just like a light on a timer.
And they're so easy to use. You just plug them in and they're ready to go. Plus, they're so affordable that we have one upstairs and downstairs.
Fake TV is only $29.95 with free shipping. Order your fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.